Man, we back, baby.
We back.
We are here.
Couple weeks off.
Couple weeks off. You know how it is.
Episode 14, season 5. Mans are in it.
Mans are completely in it. And what's crazy is that we're actually not in it, because when we refer to it, it means our recording studio, aka my apartment.
Recording studio.
I had to start with that one first.
Yeah,
we're doing this virtual, man. I'm in Ottawa right now, but you know, we gotta keep the show going. The show goes on.
Of course, man. We haven't done this since we were talking about it. We haven't done this since 2021, I want to say.
Yeah, I think I remember our first episode back recording, and it was like, it's crazy to think that this used to just be a thing. Like, yeah. I lived in Ottawa for 6 months. We would record podcasts weekly just over this. In some ways it was convenient, but in other ways, like, I feel like we kind of like got the in-person thing like covered, you know what I mean? Like, and it's hard to go back to this, I will admit.
Yo, the in-person thing. Yeah. I mean, it's different, right? Like, it's, you can look at each other. There's no glitch whatsoever. Our audio levels are the same when you're in person, but hey man, I mean, we've done this before remote. We can do it again every now and then. And
yes, sir.
What they want. Feel me?
Yes, sir, man. So what's new? What's going on? Like, we got to chop it up. I feel like I haven't seen you in a long time.
I know, yeah. I've been outside, man. Yo, I've been outside for sure. Man, one thing I love about the city is the street festivals, man. Like, Due West Fest just happened over the weekend. Dundas Street West Fest, pretty much, where they shut down, like, a couple of blocks of Dundas. There's, like, music going on. There's, you know, vendors, people dancing in the street until like 12, 1 a.m. It's just it's a good vibe. Yeah.
I love Toronto in the city, man. Toronto in the summer is like, it's a great time. I think we talked about this a last time too, but it's so crazy to see the difference between like walking around on the street and like, you know, let's call it February or March, where it's like, you know, you're on the other side of winter, things are starting to get in the right direction. When it's like full blown summer, like let's call it like June, July, August ish, where it just like it becomes a different city, and it really like changes the mood, it changes the vibe. Like, if Toronto could be like summertime all year round, I guarantee it'd be like one of the hypest cities of all time.
Yeah, man. I don't know, because it's like, we've talked about this as well, so we don't need to get too into it. But like, do you find that we just appreciate it more because it's not like that all year round? Like, if it was like that all year round, would it still have that magic?
I'm sick of winter. I got to figure out something like with that situation. But speaking of summer, man, you know, we have to do our recap.
Hey, before we get into that, man, you know, what have you been up to?
I appreciate you asking.
Of course.
Man, it's been a busy couple of weeks. You know, I'll say with work, like, things are starting to like pick up again. You know, celebrated my best friend's bachelor party, you know, a couple days ago. So that's pretty hype. He's getting married, you know, next week. So I'm going to be very involved in that. So the summer of weddings, has really started to kick off already. We did the bachelor party in May. We did this one last weekend. I got a wedding, you know, next week. Got a wedding, two weddings next month. A wedding in August. It's just crazy, man.
Bring me, man. What the hell?
Yeah, you can be my
reception, man.
Yeah, you can be like, like, take us back to the old days. But man, honestly, just trying to enjoy summer, get outside. I hooped outside the other day. Like, I played some basketball a couple weeks ago, and it's such a difference, like, just playing outside and like, just, I don't know.
For sure.
You know, when we say we outside, you got to really take all the emphasis of that and just have fun with it, man. It's because it's not an all year round thing, you know.
Yeah. All right, man, let's get into it. All right, so summer bucket list. We talked about this last year, and I think the year before. I think it's always good to kind of have a little bit of intention going into the summer. But
absolutely.
What's on your bucket list? You're traveling a bunch. Well, what's something that you want to make sure that you want to achieve?
Well, you know what, man? I'm going to Europe. I think I said that, you know, at some point in the podcast. Yeah. My bucket list, man, is just like, one, I want to take in the culture of wherever I go. So whether that's, you know, I'm going to Northern Ireland, so I'll have a great time, you know, Belfast and stuff like that. I really just want to experience and just have fun and take in what the other culture over there is. Same thing with Sweden. Very different, right? I don't want to go you know, Toronto was great in the summer, like I was just mentioning, but I also want to like broaden my horizons a little bit and just experience, different parts of the world, different experiences. take in the culture, learn as much as I can, and just have some fun. Maybe I'll come back with a couple new words and a couple more slang in my vocabulary. Maybe that's a bit of the bucket list.
Swedish slang, yo. That'd
be some Swedish slang. But really just enjoy it, man. Like, I wouldn't say I have any, like, big-time bucket list goals, but would love to – honestly, I'll say this. If we get the chance to stop in Ireland, there's a difference between Northern Ireland and Ireland for, you know, our ignorant listeners out there who are going to try and probably call me out on it. When we were flying into Dublin in Ireland, I would love to go to the Guinness, not factory, but brew house or whatever it is, to try it out. Not a big Guinness guy, but, you know, you got the man damn house to take in the culture. So I'm definitely going to check it out. How about you?
Bro, I feel like you got to go to England, man.
I want to, bro. I want to go to Manchester. Manchester City. They won the Champions League title. Yeah. They won the trebles. They won the FA Cup. They won the Premier League. This, man, Manchester right now would be popping. So maybe that's a next year situation for me. But I would say ask me my bucket list next summer, and I'll say we're going to Manchester.
Mandem in Manchester. I like it.
Yes, sir.
Man, similar to you, like I want to get a few new countries in there, you know, for new experiences. Like, these will be places that I want to go to a different continent, you know. Like I've mentioned, I want to do this like Southeast Asia trip. That would be amazing. Just broadening my horizons, meeting entirely different people and like different experiences, different culture.
Try
new shit. Yeah. And I try to do that every summer, every year, to be honest, just in general. But on top of that, like, I just want to do new things here. Like, I was thinking the other day, like, this is random as hell, but like, let me join a trivia team, you know? Let me see. always been in my head of like, yo, this would be kind of fun. Let me meet new people doing trivia, you know? I still want to join that cycling club I mentioned last summer that I didn't get a chance to do. So now I want to do it this summer. The boxing, meeting new people through there, you know what I mean? Just like new experiences, leveling up as a human. Is ultimately kind of what I'm trying to do, you know?
Dude, do it while you're in your 20s still, man. Like, you know, I'm over the hump.
My age out here, man. No, you're supposed to know.
You're good to go. As if anyone would look at you and say, hey, I bet this guy is under 20 years old or over 30. But yeah, I appreciate that, man. Hey, and if you're looking for trivia, man, I know just the spot for you. I don't know if you remember a couple years ago. This is a personal thing, like, story. Yeah. For your listeners, no one else was in on it. Like, remember a couple of New Year's ago when it was like me, you, Dan, and like Brandon, and we went out for like dinner at this restaurant called Skyline. It was like in Parkdale. They do trivia, I think, like every Thursday or something like that. And I've been to one. It's actually pretty sick. It's not too far. It's probably a little out of the way for you, but it's always a good vibe there. Food is amazing. People are good. The host is great. So check it out.
All right, I'll pull up with Dan. Let's pull up together. Trivia.
Yeah, you asked me to go to Skyline. I'm down anytime.
Let's get it.
One of my favorite restaurants. But anyways, bro, we got to chop it up. NBA Finals, bro. Denver Nuggets, get the job done.
Were you surprised at all? I don't think anyone was.
No, definitely not. No. I thought that, like, I feel like the NBA just does such a good job of, like, marketing every step of the playoffs, right? Even the pre-playoffs through to like all the different ads that you see, like compared to any other league that I watch, I'm like, man, like they do such a good job, like through partnerships, through marketing, through like players.
There's a lot.
And to really build the excitement, the hype around it. And I think that's probably why it gets so much viewership, right? But
man,
go ahead.
Yeah, like I think I was telling you, like, this is a new feature on Instagram where brands or like accounts can create a channel, and basically it's like a group chat almost, but like it's read only. Like, you can react to stuff that they post, but you can't post in there. So it's a one way type of channel. And the NBA, man, they had so much. They added basically everyone that followed them, or most people that followed them, to the channel. You could leave if you want, but the updates to the playoffs were just amazing. Like, you could get voice notes from the player saying, "I'm excited to drop 20 tonight." And get like exclusive like videos that they're recording on their phone. Like, it's coming from the NBA playoff channel. And I was just like, what a cool way to keep people updated, you know, without having to watch the game. You're getting all these updates constantly.
Well, and here's the thing too, bro. Because when we think about, you know, we've shit on social media so much over the course of this podcast that, like, I actually feel like that is kind of like the closest thing to like a Twitter as you can get, like a Twitter feature being integrated in like naturally into the platform. And I'll shut up because that's actually really cool. It's a cool new experience. It's a cool new feature. Like, again, like hearing like voice notes from the players, getting updates, like keeping your audience engaged. It's just the NBA just does such a good job of like innovating that, man. Like, it's like, I love that. It's very cool. So kudos to, you know, their partnership with Instagram. Kudos to, you know, the marketing folks over on the NBA side to always kind of push the needle in terms of, you know, driving fan engagement. It's fantastic to see. But jumping back to the actual, like, sport itself, you know, definitely a little – I wanted Miami Heat to win. I like the Heat. I like the Heat more than the Nuggets. But I will say that, you know, the Nuggets looked pretty much unstoppable the entire way through the playoffs. Like, they didn't even look, like, challenged, really.
Which is why it was kind of like, I hate to say it, but it was like kind of boring. I think the outcome was pretty expected. And I think I watched more of like the conference finals. I definitely watched more of the conference finals.
Oh, conference finals was sick.
Was lit, right? Like, I think the finals, everyone knew what was going to happen. It was either going to be a sweep or like 4-1.
Yeah. You know,
4-2 didn't even seem like a possibility.
Miami just didn't look. They just didn't have their game. Like, they didn't have the offense to compete with a team like that, which is too bad.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because, like, we were hyping up Jimmy Butler so much, and everyone was like, Jimmy Butler, and it's his moment. But I don't know. The pressure got to him. Doesn't have enough experience, maybe. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's not that player quite yet. But
it's a better team
as well, right?
Totally. It's like, and you can't put it on one player. But at the end of the game, he coughed up a two terrible turnovers at the end of the game, like, and crunch time. Like, he got the ball stolen from him with 24 seconds left, and he chucked up a wild three, you know, when there's still time on the clock.
That's all mental. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that just gets to you, and then you start making mistakes. Like, that's what that is pretty much. Yeah. But
it's too bad.
We got a blur, you know?
Yeah, love him. We'll do a deep dive on, like, you know, that side of the game, I think, at some point soon, because that's actually a really interesting, you know, topic to dive into. Why don't we kind of keep moving here? I will say, like, we won't keep this super, super major, but damn, like, those wildfires were crazy, man. Like, I've never seen anything like that before. And, like, you know, here, I'll play ignorant for 2 seconds. Like, I felt that these things usually happen out west. So I'm, like, not used to it happening anywhere else, like, in other than, like, BC or anything. And I also heard that there was something happening, you know, the East Coast as well. And I was like, damn, like, both places are on fire? That's crazy. Yeah. And in Ontario, shit is crazy, bro. And, like, it's
Quebec as well.
Quebec, everywhere. I'm like, yo, anyone who doesn't believe in, like, climate change or anything like that, I point to this situation directly and say, guys, like, what are we saying?
Man. But what's crazy is, like, because here's the thing. Like, I had a few friends that felt it, like, in being in Toronto, like, being outside. Like, if you look up, you can see the air quality is different, right? But you can see the smoke and the fog. But I didn't actually feel it in terms of my regular breathing. Like, if I didn't look up, I would have thought every day was the same. I had a few friends that could very much feel it. Friends that had asthma, friends that didn't. So it's kind of weird how it, like, maybe affected people differently, but... Did you see how it was in New York?
Yeah, that's, like, I didn't see any shit like that.
That was crazy. Yeah. Their whole sky was a different color. Like,
yeah, their entire, like, everything was orange. It was crazy, bro.
And, like, people needed to basically wear masks, or you could feel that in your lungs. Like, it was heavy. Here they were mentioning, like, it would be recommended to wear masks, but I haven't really seen an uptick in people wearing masks downtown Toronto, for example. You know? New York.
Yeah.
And it made for a lot of memes, of course, like people joking that it's like Gotham City and it's blaming Canada for everything, and the ignorant people like, how is something happening in Canada affecting New York? I'm like, look at a map. Like, it's really
yeah, yeah. Stop being fucking stupid. Like, we're not that far out from each other. We're
not
that
far.
I feel like, yeah. Like, I mean, people in the States were like, what actually kind of got me was like, I paid attention to how the media was like reporting on all this.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, man, it was like all about New York and all about, you know, the States and stuff. I'm like, yo, people here like are still going through the same struggles. Like, people are losing their houses, their homes, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Right here, and nobody's saying shit about it. All we're talking about is the big U.S. cities. I'm like, fuck that. Like, it's poor reporting, or at least like a bias in reporting, and that should be acknowledged, in my opinion.
Yeah, and even just the way that they position it as like the blame on Canada, right? Like, just even in the reporting, it's like, yeah, it's coming to America all because of Canada, and it's like, let's not be divisive right now. Like, this is a problem that, you know, a lot of people are experiencing, and as you're saying, people are being displaced. I'm sure people have like been injured because of this, and maybe
straight
people
up.
Even died. I'm not sure, but like, I don't know. I don't think blame is really the, you know, blaming an entire country for.
Yeah. Also, like, what the fuck did I do? Like,
what did I do? You know?
Yeah.
It's we'll kind of see how things progress. I haven't really looked into updates on the wildfires in the last few days, but we'll cover it as things change. You know what I mean?
Yep, sounds good.
Let's move on, man. Let's move on. We got Apple. This is an interesting topic because I don't know if you remember, but I think you were the one that started the conversation on like Apple is lacking in innovation at some point.
Yeah, I definitely brought that up.
You definitely have said that, right? And I want to know, I'll explain everything and then I want to get your take on this, but Apple has this WWDC developer conference every year pretty much. And it just happened where they had a whole slew of updates. The first thing that I want to lean into, which is the biggest thing they've done since, I would say, the Apple Watch. And people are comparing it to the introduction of the iPhone. Like, that's
kinda, the size and scale of
the size and scale of this product that they're really pushing is called the Vision Pro. And they call it like a new era of spatial computing. Basically, it is like a headset. They're trying not to call it a headset, but that is what it is, that allows you to blend digital content with your physical space. So there are a bunch of kind of, we can, you know, we'll spare the intricacies of like the tech details of it, but it's using augmented reality to basically, you put on these glasses or this headset and you can see a screen, no matter how big you want it to be. Let's say I'm playing NBA 2K. I can literally make it the size of the wall in my room or the wall outside. Like, I can make it as big as I want, ultimately. And I can see that projected into the real world as like a digital screen. I can have multiple screens beside each other and I can interact with them with my fingers. So I'm not holding on to a remote. I can pinch my fingers to zoom. I can just like type in thin air pretty much. So it's quite amazing, and there's quite a lot of details behind it. It's $3,500 USD, coming out next year. It's quite expensive, but it also can't be compared to anything. It's like one of one. And what I like about Apple's, like, they're just geniuses when it comes to like positioning and marketing. Like, they don't mention that it's an AR or VR headset, because all that shit is just like techie. Like,
yeah,
the Vision Pro, you know what I mean? Like, they're the only ones calling it something completely different, versus Meta's calling it, you know, this like Oculus headset that you can tap into the metaverse. Apple's like, fuck all that shit. Like, Vision Pro, make it super simple. And just even the marketing of it, like, I think it's really clever. I think this is something they're pouring a lot of money and effort into, and I think it will be something that like sets the tone for the future, pretty much. That's my spiel on it, you know?
Well, okay, so here's, I'll kind of go back to what you were saying about like putting the headset on and like using your hands and stuff like that to kind of control how you interact with the screens that are now being displayed. One thing that I think Apple does really, really well is that no matter how far tech keeps getting pushed, they've always seemed to bring it down to like a human experience. Like, you are still in the driver's seat of control. You can use your hands, you can use your body to like help modify certain things about how the product is being used. I think that is the differentiating factor compared to, like, you know, let's call it an Oculus or whatever it is, where you like put a headset on your face and then you just kind of look around and you're like, okay, cool. I'm letting the world come to me and I'm just going to take this in. Versus with Apple, you know, even dating back to the iPhone, you know what I mean? I remember watching the press conference on YouTube. Like, I didn't watch it when it like first came out because I was like I think I was like in high school or something. But I remember when Steve Jobs was introducing the iPhone, he was like talking about the buttons on like a typical cell phone kind of thing. He's like, what if we just went back to using our hands? And when he introduced the iPhone and it was just a screen, everyone was like, holy shit, mind blown. That is crazy. Yeah. You know? And when all that kind of stuff came out, it was just, it showed that they were leveraging technology and really thinking about like a human oriented approach and how we understand and think about technology all the way through to the marketing, to your point about not calling it a headset, not calling it this, you're just calling it like something that is cool. You know what I mean? 100%. So they bring like a human element to like the biggest advancements in technology that we have seen, I would argue, probably in the last 20 years.
Yeah, and they take their time too, right? Like a lot of companies have kind of rushed to get the VR headset and to step into the metaverse space. But Tim Cook, who's the CEO of Apple, has been very very clear that he doesn't think the metaverse is the future. He thinks AR, which is augmented reality, is the future that he's willing to put money into, where I can still be in my real life, but I can just put a digital element on top of it. So when you're speaking about like people putting on a VR headset, there's something concerning about that, because you can't see outside of that space. You're immersed into that world. Someone can be outside and punch you in the stomach and you wouldn't. Obviously, that's very extreme, but like
from
a survival standpoint, right? Like, we want to be aware of what's going on around us. And when you have a VR headset, you're locked in. Yeah. Versus Apple's, like, you can actually turn the dial if you want it to be VR, but the regular state is AR, where I can still see you if you're right beside me.
Which is very cool, right? It's super interesting, right? Yeah. And I think like you don't get a lot of like Apple is a very trusted brand, right? Like I have used iPhones for 7 years. I have a MacBook. Like, I understand how it works. Like, I am in the Apple ecosystem, right? Yeah. It feels familiar and it's popular to men, right? So I think when new technology like, you know, VR or AR starts getting introduced by like these, you know, tech companies that aren't as well known, it's like, okay, well, like, what is this? Like, you know, what? But as soon as Apple, because they have equity in like the technology innovation space, they're able to actually, you know, come in and say, okay, well, here's how we are going to do our version of AR or VR or whatever. And people say, that's fucking cool. I want to use that. So all it's going to take is like Drake or Kim Kardashian or any of these like pop stars to like put this on and see what it's like. What'll be interesting, like, one, it's a pretty steep price point. You said what? It's like $3,500, $3,600 US.
Yeah, about $4,500 Canadian, almost 5,000.
Yeah, so let's assume it's like almost about $5,000 Canadian.
Yeah,
and like, you know, that is the early adopter phase. As we going back to my marketing days, of course, marketing class days.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of like, you know, people who are like tech enthusiasts kind of jumping on this, who are using it. It'll be interesting to see maybe in like 2 or 3 years time, how this gets integrated into like everyday life. You know what I mean? Like, how is this, how
look like?
Exactly. How is this being introduced into pop culture? How is this being, you know, positioned in, you know, entertainment spaces like movie theaters or like anything like that? And most importantly, like, how is it going to affect the workplace where people like have to do this stuff all the time? Are we still going to have computers? Like,
yeah, I mean,
it's where it could go. It's where, like, will we still have screens in an office? Will there even be an office? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it unlocks the capability. It's a good
question, because like, I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about how this is going to happen. If they're thinking very future forward, right? They're saying this is going to have an effect on how people design their homes. Like, do you need a TV? Do you need a desk for your computer if you can just like use this? But what I think they're missing is real life.
Yeah.
You
know,
like, you're the only one that can see this with your goggles on. So like, if you're a single person, you live alone and you never invite anyone ever to your home, then sure, it might change the way you design it. But this is a singular experience. Maybe in the future there would be a way to like all look at the same thing at once. I don't know, but I think it's going to be a very long time before it's like, I'm no longer going to need a TV because I have, like, I still want to entertain. Like, if my mom comes or family comes,
yeah.
If I'm on a date or whatnot, you know what it is? Like, I'm not just going to be sitting on my goggles in my living room all day just on my own.
Yeah.
I hope I don't get to that point in life, because the issue with these things is you can literally be on it all day. You could, the battery life is not great, right? But if you're at home and you can plug it in, I could find a lot of use cases for this, man. Like,
totally.
Watching movies with this will be insane.
Yeah, like it's like just chilling games. In bed and saying, okay, cool, I'm going to play 2K with a headset on. Like, I mean, where's the partnership
is the size of my goddamn wall.
Like, your wall. Yeah, it's really cool. And like the opportunity for something like this to be starting to be introduced on a bit more of like a pop culture lens, I think will be very, interesting to see how it changes, multiple industries. Could this change transportation? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many different elements to something like this that, we've talked about AR, we've talked about VR for years.
Yeah.
This is the furthest we've ever gone. Like, I remember Josh Richards, shout out to Josh, man. He told me that VR was like bullshit back in the day. He's like, this is never going to catch on. And I'm like,
really?
I was like, I don't disagree until I see something that is like, actually provides like a use case for everyday life. I wonder what his perspective on this now. We got to get Josh back on here. Josh, if you're listening to this,
definitely.
You got to comment on this one. I remember you saying that back in the day. Your opinion may have changed. You got to let me know.
I was going to deny it. Okay, so will you buy one? I mean, not at the $3,500 price point. I don't think either of us are doing that. But what would be like a, it's kind of hard to ask, but like, what would be a price point that would kind of make you think, let me save up, or let me try to buy this?
I would say anywhere, and being completely honest, I would say for something like this, I would need to have to find a use case where it would like make sense for me. I'm probably saying anywhere between the $700 and $1,200 mark is where I'd where I'd probably feel comfortable.
I'll fit in with that with you. I think that makes sense. $3,500, as you mentioned, is for those early adopters, right? Like, it's for those.
Companies
are going to buy them too as well, potentially, but it's tricky, man. Some of it is very out of touch though, because like FaceTime, like you can use FaceTime, which is cool for you as the person with the goggles, because you can see this person in kind of like thin air almost in front of you. But what they see is like an AI generated version of you.
Oh, yeah, fuck that.
You know, like, I'm like, some of that stuff, I feel like they've missed the mark there. And even some of the advertising of like a dad is like wearing them and like recording his daughter playing through the goggles. But it's like, take the goggles off, man. Like, your daughter's right in front of you. I don't know. Some of this stuff just feels very like dystopian, kind of out of touch, but such as
well, maybe we're not there yet. Maybe we're not there yet. It's hard for me to visualize this, but very interesting. Very cool, and it'll be interesting to see how stuff like this interacts with like your phone or your headphones or your computer or your television or anything like that. They've done a really good job of like integrating the ecosystem. Because didn't you say like that's I don't know they were well maybe it wasn't you but thinking about Apple making like a vehicle or a car or something.
I think
like
I mentioned that.
You know what I mean? It's
there's
like
rumors how does, that they're working on it, but
how does all this stuff fit in? I think it's super interesting.
Imagine the autonomous vehicle while you got the goggles on and you're just watching a movie or something. I don't know. Who knows? Like,
it's crazy.
We're getting there, man. They also introduced a couple of other things, some stuff that got people wondering, you know. So like the health app, they're going to introduce this mood tracking feature that basically you log how you're feeling day to day, and then it can kind of tell if you're exhibiting signs of depression or anxiety. think that's giving a lot of data to Apple, but
yeah,
we'll see how that works. And then FaceTime voicemails, people seem to be loving with all the memes online of like potentially what they would do if you know, if your friend hangs up, you get to record a video as like a voicemail almost.
Yeah. It's like, it's hey, a cool man.
Idea, you know? Yeah.
Pick up the phone, man.
Pick up the phone, my guy. But yeah, they've introduced a lot. Definitely going to be looking at this Vision Pro stuff. If I could find a friend to buy it so I could try it out, I would love to.
Apple, if you're listening to this one, you know, we're two young influencers. Hook us up with something.
The Apple sponsorship is coming. It's cooking, man. It's cooking.
It's on the way.
Let's move on here, though. Netflix. So we talked about the whole password sharing thing, which has been annoying, right? Like they're cracking down on the password sharing. So there can only kind of be like a centralized account that can use a particular password. It's bullshit. But what I've actually read is that Netflix is kind of working for them, but it's early days, but Netflix has had its biggest growth in signups since January 2019. They did have an uptick in cancellations, but they got like 102% surge in signups, which I think is
kind of makes sense.
It kind of makes sense. It's kind of obvious, right? Like they're kicking a lot of people off the account. There are still going to be a lot of people that are like, I like Netflix. Let me just create my own account. It's not that expensive. I was not one of those people. I left. I boycotted. And then I find out that people are still on Netflix. I'm like, yo, I thought we were like on a united front of like canceling Netflix here. But
here's the thing, because it's like there's so many people who have like quit or who have been kicked off. And they're like, well, like I was halfway through the fucking series. Like, yeah. I got to finish this off. You know what I mean? I got to finish the play. So like, I get it. It's still annoying because it's like at the end of the day, you just want as many people to use your product as possible, right?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what their strategy is behind all of this. Like, I still think about this, right? It's like, okay, you guys obviously need to make more money, but I'm like, aren't you making a lot of money by like owning like basically like the market share with your consumers? In that, but for the people who don't want to spend money on like Disney Plus, this thing, it's like, okay, can we like, I don't know. I feel like it totally, it's counteractive to like their original strategy of getting as many possible people as using this as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got to a point, it's that like they reached a ceiling, right? Like they could not get more people to sign up, and this was the way that made sense to them to do so, of like literally kicking people off the platform so they sign up individually on their own and then they get more numbers. Right. You're gonna piss off a lot of people in between, but I mean, you gotta make moves, you got investors, you got shit like that, it's coughing down your neck, and it's like, yo, you gotta do better than you did last quarter, even though you outperformed everyone else last quarter, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like remember when like Apple like took out like the headphone jack in their phone, and they were like, yeah.
I hate that we got used to that, man.
Yeah, me too. But I was like, but it just paved the way for these things, right? It paved the way for AirPods so perfectly to say, okay, they probably knew like, okay, we're building like a headphone technology at the same time of like the next iPhone. So how are we gonna like, or the next couple iPhones? So like, how do we just work in parallel and say, well, we have the perfect product to match exactly what you need to do? It's fucking bullshit. But like, I will admit, AirPods are a good product. Like, it's not like it's bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. AirPods are like probably the best headphones I've ever owned. Except for, I don't know. It's up there though.
I haven't pulled out earbuds. Like, I have them somewhere in like my closet or something, but I haven't pulled them out since I got AirPods. Like, my ears are always charged, ready to go. And I hate that I'm like a slave to Apple, pretty much.
Oh yeah, like, dude. This episode is dedicated.
It's dedicated to Apple, right?
Like, yeah,
we're in that ecosystem. Yeah, I don't know, man. But we'll see for Netflix, like if other streaming services will follow suit. I really hope not, but because I use Odie's Disney Plus. Shout out to Odie for that.
Shout out to Odie, bro.
You need the friends to hook you up, you know?
Straight up.
In this economy.
It's too much. It's too many of these things, but too much to
pay for. All right, let's move on. 2023 report showing that work stress is at an all-time high globally. That's just one straight from our favorite site, LinkedIn. Good old article.
Yeah, appropriate place.
Little article, you know, but I'll read into it a little bit. So it's a 2023 State of the Global Workforce Report by a company called Gallup. I've never heard of them, but basically, yeah. So it's a worldwide survey to basically look into the mindset of workers, you know, like how stressed are you? How fulfilled do you feel at work? And some kind of crazy stats, man. 51% of currently employed workers say they are waiting for or actively seeking a new job. US, Canada, and East Asia had the highest levels of work stress in the world.
Does not surprise me.
Man, not surprised at all. Just a lot of stats concerning like people just being feeling very overwhelmed, kind of fitting that kind of quiet quitting model that we were speaking about, where I'm just here to do my job. I'm not overperforming whatsoever. And that was represented in the statistics. I don't know how many office workers versus, manual labor workers. And I don't know the division of that, but these stats don't actually really surprise me when you look at it from a global standpoint. This was North America too. I think it's still very accurate.
Yeah, I mean, totally, right? I was like, you named the three countries there, US, Canada, and East Asia. Like, yeah. East Asia is not a country, but it's conglomerate of countries, and I think you get my point.
Yeah,
like, you know, you have China, which is like basically a mass producer for the world. Yeah. You have, you know, Canada and US that are like very much like capitalist workhorse kinds of countries. And like, it doesn't surprise me that people from these areas are feeling this way. I find it really interesting to see, like, it'd be interesting to go dive a little bit deeper into the data. Are these people who are looking for jobs like more than 2 years in the same company, or is it 6 months? Because I think that influences some of the results, right? I think that there's a lot of people, and like, this goes back to like the quiet quitting stuff, where it's like, I totally appreciate and respect that like people don't want to go above and beyond like their normal day to day. But I just think that like, maybe I'm going to sound insensitive here, but it's like, because I respect the quiet quitting thing, but also kind of comes down to like, man, it's just like not how shit works. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a balance of like, you know, delivering what you need to do and like making sure that you're finding that like appropriate balance between your work and your home. There's definitely workplaces that take advantage of people who, are working, 50 hour, 60 hour, 70 hour, 80 hour work weeks potentially. Yeah. And like, that's not okay. But if you have like regular job, that's like a 9 to 5, 40 hour a week job, and like, you're like quiet quitting because you think you deserve more. And you've been in that position for like 6 months. I don't know if I can get on board with that.
Yeah. There's so much at play here, right? Like, behind these stats, we're talking about, like you said, China, Canada, US, and like other countries in East Asia. Like, that's a lot of people, a lot of different scenarios that come into play here, right? Like, work stress can even be an extension of your health, your mental health, your physical health, stress in other areas that lead into work. You know what I mean? Like, we're at a time now, we've spoken enough about the economy is in shit. People are making less money or coming out of a pandemic. People's health is in the gutter. So all of that can add to some of these stats that people are seeing.
Absolutely.
On top of just like shitty workplaces, right? Like, you can be having a normal 9 to 5, but you have a shitty manager that is causing you to hate work.
Hate work.
You know what I mean? So there's so many things at play. There's obviously, there's onus on some of the workers of like maybe managing expectations and things like that. You might be too idealistic about what work needs to be. But at the same time, you can have a conversation about, do we need to make changes in the global workforce? You couldn't do that. But I mean, there's so many companies that like expect you to work 60 hours, 70 hours a week. And like, that's not sustainable.
And not pay you shit either,
and
right?
Not pay you shit.
Yeah, totally. It's interesting. It'd be, as a people leader myself, like
people leader, I like that.
In the last couple of years, like I've like looked at, different I've tried to understand what my leadership style is to make sure that I am not one of the people that I don't want to be, right?
Yeah,
and it's hard to recognize that. I think probably leadership, to your point, factors into so much of what, like, this statistic that you just brought up, right? Leaders, managers, people just have like a responsibility to ensure that they are doing the due diligence to help grow their teams in the right way. And like, I don't care what kind of position you're in. I don't care who you are. If you're like someone who is in a leadership position at a company and you don't treat your people with respect or you don't listen to people, then you probably shouldn't be in that position in the first place, which I totally get. Like, not everyone should be a people leader. I don't think that the higher up you get into a company, you should manage more people. I don't agree with that. Because I think that, like, there's certain people who just fucking suck at being a coach.
Yeah.
Not everybody can be a coach. There's some people who are like so good individually at what they need to do. And that's great. They are an asset to the company. But like, I would argue that if you're put into a leadership position and you're a shitty leader, it's a bigger detriment to your entire company and the goals of your company than, you know, the successes that you might see in your current position, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's very interesting. And, you know, we could definitely dive into a lot more like leadership. We should do a part two on this one. Cause I think, there's a lot to unpack. And I think the leadership element probably factors into a ton, to your point.
Man, I think we should do our own like a little Mad Mix study too. We could do something on Instagram to see like how people feel about their workforce and their jobs and things like that. But
we'll report
back on the next episode.
Totally. Because I feel, and I'll say this the next time we speak, like a manager has the ability to like turn someone who doesn't like their job or isn't passionate about their job into like a productive employee. And I think that's a huge responsibility that people have. And unless you as a manager are invested into your people, and making sure that they're getting the most out of it and being productive and showing that you're growing them, like you're not going to get the results you need. The last thing I'll say on this is that I saw like, I don't know, it was like a Gary Vee post or something that. And like, I don't normally listen to that kind of shit, but like it popped up on TikTok. One thing that I like to listen, there was one guy who said, he was like, I've been going through like employees like crazy. I don't have like people aren't staying. Like, what am I doing? Am I a bad leader? And he was like, yeah, you probably are. And he explained a couple of things. I was like, facts. But I was but he's like, if you're in a position of leadership, it's like you are working for your employees. You can't get your employees to care. So it's like you're not like you can't share that same like position. If I'm in a position of power and saying I have to hit X goals as part of my bonus, so my team needs to work harder for me, you already have the wrong mindset.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that you're working for your people, and what that looks like is growth, development, investment, and care to get them to where they want to be, whether that's at your company or somewhere else. I'm sorry.
No, I think that was said perfectly. And I think anecdotally, like I've heard more bad manager stories. Like I feel like most people, at least that I've spoken to in my circle, have had more bad managers than good managers.
I've had shitty managers, bro.
Yeah, you know, personally, like I feel like I've been pretty lucky from the career standpoint, management wise. Everything before that was shitty, but like, you know, after actually having like a career and like salary jobs and stuff like that, the managers have been good. But I've heard so many complaints from friends, from managers that holding them back, talking shit about them, overworking them while the manager was leaving early. Like that is so much more common than a manager that is really pushing you to maximize your potential and like recognizing the best out of you and treating you with respect, bro.
Yeah. It all just comes down to like your that relationship. But anyways, let's do a part two on this one. And we'll do a Mad Mix study for those still listening. But that was episode 14.
Hey, virtual is not too bad. We knocked it out, you know?
We knocked it out of the park, man. It's definitely not the same, but thank you so much, everyone who was listening. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of comments. We did a really big deep dive on Apple and tech this week,
so that was
fun to talk about. But
Tim Cook will be in our comments, probably. I'll tag
him. Tim Cook, he's going to hit us up.
RIP Steve Jobs.
RIP Steve Jobs, man. I know he's looking over us, too. he's whispering in my AirPods right now.
he's like, they're about to die, Malik.
Yeah, he's like, yo, you got to charge that shit, King.
Anyways, episode 14, yeah.
Episode 14. Thank you so much. Have a great night, evening, day, whatever time you're listening to this. Peace.
Peace.